Parshas Lech Lecha. Now, in Parshas Lech Lecha, I'm sorry for the coughing. In Parshas Lech Lecha, we're going to discuss one of the 10 tests to Avraham Avinu. And one of the 10 tests was that he had separated from light. Separated from light, they were living together. Light had been tremendous. At one point, we would say, I think we spoke about it a different year, light was the future inheritor of Avraham Avinu. He didn't have a child yet, and light was going to be everything. And they had a disagreement about how that worked out. And they separated from each other. And Avram told them, pick right, pick left. That's something we discussed a couple of years ago. And they now were no longer in the same area. And a war began. A war began. The four kings versus the five kings. And during that war, it's chapter 14, verse 14. We'll put it in later. It says, Avram Avinu was told by someone who escaped from the war, probably Og Melech HaBashan, and he was told that his nephew was captured. We use the term a prisoner or a hostage. And Avraham Avinu, at that point in time, we have to know, Avraham Avinu had a big yeshiva. It's a fascinating idea. And let's say the Gemara says 318, but I don't know if that meant only 318, or that's what he took with him. But imagine this, like sitting in yeshiva one day, they're all learning. Imagine Avraham Avinu being a Rebbe, sitting around with a bunch of students, discussing the great philosophies and Torah studies of all time. And all of a sudden, someone comes in from the outside, and he's dressed how he's dressed. And I tell him, what are you doing here? They say, listen, there's a war. And Avram, your nephew, was taken. And Avram Avinu, you know, we would say somewhat successful yeshiva, one of the interesting scenes in the history of Judaism, closed the yeshiva down instantaneously. And he told the yeshiva guys, pick up arms, we're going to war. And again, the simple interpretation is 318 of them came. I don't know if the whole yeshiva was 318 or not, but 318 people decided to go with Avram Avinu. No tactical training, no nothing. It's a time of, of war. And it doesn't matter if you were dancing with a Torah in the morning, but, you know, overtones, let's go. Go to the battlefield, get him out. And it's one of the tests of Avraham Avinu. When Avraham Avinu decides he's going to go, and it's miraculously successful. So the question we're going to discuss tonight is only in terms of Chumash, not halakhically speaking necessarily, but in this situation, was Avraham Avinu supposed to, require to, morally obligated, was he to go and put himself in a matzav of sakana? Obviously, it's dangerous. Does one put himself in a dangerous situation in order to save a potential hostage or captive? And that's really relevant to this week's parasha. So Avraham Avinu left the yeshiva, closed down the yeshiva, and went into a battle, which it seems clear that among why it was a test, this was one of the tests. So the question, why are you going to say it's a test? But the simple interpretation why this would be considered a great test is because he placed himself in a very serious situation, a very dangerous situation. So Avraham Avinu placed himself in a serious situation. That was a test that he passed. But our question is going to be tonight is, was he supposed to do that? Was that the right thing to do halakhically, morally, and everything like that? What are all the factors that can go into this question? And again, we're dealing with it from a Chumash standpoint, and each answer comes with a load of things you might think about for the time being. So the first one to know about is the Radak, R-A-D-A-K. Radak, who writes, early Rishon, writes on Chumash. He says the very, and now what I'm doing the anglicized version of it, unless we're going to find them on Safari later on. And sometimes each word, you have to know how to read it. Sometimes I might be misunderstanding the word and stuff like that. Some of the Rishon, not Radak, was translated in different languages. You have to know how correct they are. But the Radak phrase seems to be that Avraham Avinu had a moral obligation to try and save a relative. Now, the words moral obligation, I don't know, it's like two words that to me seem potentially contradictory. Is it an obligation, or it's like a musa thing that morality requires such a thing? Is it a 613 commandment obligation, or it's morally obligated? Not always are those two things automatically intertwined. And he adds in the detail, which I think is important, again, reading an early commentator Rishon, he says he had a moral obligation. He says Roy, it was supposed to. Roy, that he should go and save his relative, a relative that was a part of his family that he was in contact with, that had traveled with him. So it seems, again, from the simple reading of the version, is that it might not be what we would call a non-relative, whatever that word's supposed to mean, or someone following in the same path. Well, again, we know that Light was not exactly the same path as Avraham at this point in time. He had gone in his own methodology, but again, he had a lot of Avraham Avinu's things. So we don't know how much he was involved with Sodom next week's Pasha, but he was doing a lot of good stuff. But the Radak held that there was it's worthy. Roy's word is it's supposed to go help a relative. So to me, again, I don't know if that means there's an obligation, and I don't know if that means if someone was a non-relative, would the same obligation mean should someone place himself into a dangerous situation to save a potential hostage. That would be, again, so if you want to say, where are you going to start from this question? Again, these are halachic brought down the Rambam. We're not doing, we're just going Chumash tonight. In the Chumash, the Radak has a simple case. Fascinatingly, it's the week we're discussing this parasha. And the Radak seems to say that Avraham Avinu had a moral obligation, we don't know what the exact words mean, to go and save a relative who followed in his path. So to me, that would be potentially very limiting. That means if it might not be a real obligation anyway, and it might not be even morally on the non-relative. So it would be a fairly small amount. It happens to be the Chofetz Chaim. Again, a lot of people comment on this question, why Avraham Avinu put himself in Matzav Sakana, in a dangerous situation to save his nephew. The Chofetz Chaim says, more not as a moral obligation. He writes, because when the Radak says moral obligation, he doesn't quote any psukim, any mitzvahs. He doesn't say mitzvah 17. He doesn't do that. He doesn't say it's a moral obligation. What he says here is, when he says, when Chofetz Chaim writes it, he writes it's a mitzvah, shleisamoid al dam reyecha. Leisamoid al reyecha is one of the 613 commandments. It means you cannot see someone drowning and not try to help them out. If someone is drowning, you have an obligation to try to save them. That's an automatic. So he's learned, and that's one of the 613 commandments. That's the 613 commandment. So it seemed to be that according to the Chofetz Chaim, it's not just a moral thing, not a moral thing, but it would be an actual obligation, one of the 613 commandments. And if you read the Chofetz Chaim as a personal Torah, his personal Torah is automatically reflecting all around the situation. He doesn't seem to mention it's only a relative. He doesn't seem to say it's just moral. He seems to say there is an obligation of Mr. A. I don't know why. Mr. A would have an obligation if you're seeing someone drowning. Now, in general, if you're walking down the river and you're seeing someone drowning and you are a great swimmer, of course, that's one of the 613 commandments. You must save someone's life. Obviously, if you're not the greatest swimmer in the world, it's a debate. When do you put yourself in a matzav of sakana? When do you put yourself in a dangerous potential situation in order to save someone's life? The Chofetz Chaim seems to be moving it into that conversation. As if someone was drowning, they have an obligation to save their life. And he's using that in the concept of saving his nephew who was captured as a hostage, as a prisoner. That concept is based on a law. Again, not that the Radak. The Radak was saying it's a moral thing for a relative. The Chofetz Chaim added in a few words, it doesn't quote the Radak, but he adds in a few words that it seems to be an obligation of the 613 commandment of Leisamid Adam Recha. Don't stand by, Leisamid, don't stand by Aldam on the blood of Recha of your friend. Don't stand by. Recha doesn't mean only a friend, obviously. Recha means anyone's life. Everyone in the world becomes your Recha at that point in time. And he also has an obligation to go save them. So that would be two again, approaches which are in the same direction, that there was some type of force that made Avram do it based on potential morality or law and stuff like that. Third approach, this one I think is important, is Ramban al Torah. So again, you can look this up. The Ramban al Torah seems to say, again, I always say seems because I think every word in these early commentators are a lot, and I'm putting a lot together right now, so it's the way I'm looking at it. And he seems to say, again, you have to know on a geopolitical form what these next words mean on a practical level, which we're not doing. He seems to say like this. He seems to say that what happens is that Avraham Avinu, the reason why he placed himself in a dangerous situation to try to save the hostage, which he was successful at, was because he was the cause of the situation. And he says very simple. He explains what it means. What it means, a cause. He said Avraham Avinu was living in the last week's parasha in a place called Charan, Charan, Aran. He lived in a place called Charan. And what happened was, there was a fight and thing that, and Avraham Avinu was told after being thrown into a furnace, whatever it is, and Avraham Avinu was told by Hashem it's time to leave. And because he was picking up and leaving, his nephew, that's what we're discussing here, the captive, the hostage, Loit, was a nephew of his. Loit went along as well. Maybe he had to, he's not going to stay alone. So Loit came along with Avraham Avinu. And he went with Avraham. And at the beginning of the parasha, which we could do a different year, hopefully, we'll discuss the greatness of Loit at a certain point. Again, he was the inheritor. He was Avraham's equal. Not equal, but up there. Now, Avraham Avinu held himself like this. The war of the kings was not a war of light. It was a war of four kings versus five kings. That in the end, they attacked town X. They attacked town X. And it happens to be light was there in town X. But why was light in town X? Because of me. That's what Avraham is saying. It means if not for me, he would be living in the original place where the family lived for X amount of years, generations going back where Terach's father, or Lloyd's grandfather was living. So Avraham Avinu was saying, oh, I had to leave, and Lloyd came with me, maybe had to come with me. So because of that, I'm a cause of this issue. That's not the same thing. That means when someone is the cause, now you have to, again, that's a geopolitical question. When someone is the cause of someone else being captive, according to the Ramban, the way he seems to be learning, that causation creates an obligation on Avraham Avinu, even to place himself in a matzav of sakana, even to place himself in a dangerous situation, because he's the cause of it. Now, once you're going to say Avraham Avinu is the cause, again, the Ramban's line of cause was based on he would have been in the old neighborhood. The old neighborhood. Since he wasn't in the old neighborhood, it was literally a geographical question. The war happened there, and he was only in that place because of me. If not for me, he never would have been in that place in the first place. That means I'm the cause of it. Similarly, I saw other commentators, early commentators, say that Avraham Avinu was the cause, but for a different reason, he was the cause. The reason Avraham Avinu was the cause was because why was Lot hanging around Avraham in the first place? Where was Lot's father? So, if we remember, Lot's father passed away. Where did Lot's father pass away? In this event that happened, Avraham Avinu, here goes back to the end of last week's parsha, to the famous story. Avraham Avinu was becoming aware of monotheism, and he realized that his father was having an idolatrous salesman. He was selling the stuff, and Avraham Avinu decided one day to break up the store, as a mitzvah requires, and he broke up the store. And then Nimrod heard about this, and Nimrod was, and he's the guy, by the way, in the war of the 4 and the 5. Nimrod's like, listen, I don't go for this at all. We're going to put this guy, we're going to punish him in public. And they burned the fire up. And they made a massive fire, which, if you remember when I went to Turkey a couple of years ago, they claim that they have the remnants of that fire. There's still a place in the southeast Turkey that they claim is from that location. And the fire was huge. And they turned to Avraham Avinu and said, we're throwing you in there. If you read my drush, they couldn't even throw him. It was so hot. They had to like fly him in like a slingshot. Slingshot him in there. And Avraham came out 100%. And then they turned to Avraham Avinu's brother. They said to him, what about you? What are you going to pick? And Avraham Avinu's brother, who was Lloyd's father, said to himself, you know what? I wasn't sure. I was on the fence. If you read the way it reads, I was on the fence what to do. I'll tell you what. The fact is that Avraham Avinu was saved. Means monotheism was correct. Means Hashem's around. Means I'm going to go do it. Since he's going to go do it, I decided to go in as well. But since his level of sanctifying Hashem's name wasn't perfect, it was still impressive. We'll discuss in a second. Extremely impressive. But it wasn't perfect to the level of being saved in such an open, miraculous way, like Avraham Avinu himself. Therefore, he passed away. He got burned in the fire. And now he had two, what they say in Yiddish, pitzalach. He had two kids. That they were left alone now, Sarah and Lot. So Avraham Avinu held, so Avraham Avinu quasi adopted them. They became like stepchildren to them. So since Avraham Avinu adopted them, and the reason why he adopted them was because he was the cause of the father being killed, so that meant that everything in his life was his cause. He said, he only is captured because in a way I was part of his whole life and his whole upbringing, and everything until this moment that I did led him to be in that location. Not only geographically speaking, I moved and he moved with me, but I raised him in a certain way, I brought him, I did that, and all this was because he didn't have a father. If his father would be alive, I would have nothing to do with this kid, which would mean the obligation, again, is a causation obligation. And therefore, since it's all because of me, I have to do it as well. Now, as a side, we spoke about Haran. You should know, it's another answer given here, is that Haran is not forgotten in Jewish history. Haran produced a child, Sarah, and he produced a child, Lot, who was tremendously great, Sarah, obviously. And at a certain point in time, Lot, we're going to learn next week, if we're going to learn it, but it's in the parasha, Lot himself is the progeny, is that the word? He's the progenitor, if that's the word. He is the great-great-grandfather of the David Messianic, the Mashiach. It comes through Lloyd's daughters. So David and Rus, the whole thing we discussed years ago, which means on a certain level, the greatness of Haran was, the Svasemis says this, the Svasemis says, how did Lloyd get worthy of having Mashiach come from him? He said, it wasn't Lloyd. It was Lloyd's father, Haran. Because Haran, in the end, even though he died in the furnace, even though he got killed, you should know that the level of greatness that he achieved was unbelievable. It happens to be not good enough to be publicly saved in a burning flame. But it was so great that because of that, Mashiach was going to come out of him. Now, it happens to be, one of the answers I saw, since against everything we're saying right now, again, geopolitically, you have to understand what this means, is that the reason Avraham Avinu risked his life to go save the captive hostage Lot was not to save Lot, but to keep Lot alive long enough, because inside of Lot was he was going to eventually going to produce Mashiach. And Avraham Avinu's reason to place himself in harm's way was not for anything we just said. Not causation, not family, not morality, not that. Well, the reason was a special situation. The situation was that the captive was a specific captive that within his genetic DNA, he was going to create a Mashiach. And therefore, since you're going to create a Mashiach, that becomes an important thing. So, we've already done several answers. And again, each one of these answers can be analyzed for anything you want to discuss at a table relevant to anything relevant to today's world. What we said is the first answer was the Radak. The Radak said he had a moral obligation to his relative. We said we weren't sure moral obligation, what that means, and it means only relative. We have the Chofetz Chaim, who seemingly says that it's an obligation of one of the 613 commandments that you must make sure if someone's in harm's way, drowning in a sea is the classic case. Here, being held by terrorists, you must immediately obligation to save them. Then we had two more answers. Two more answers. That's two so far. Two more answers was that Avraham Avinu had to do it in this situation because he was the cause of Lot being captured. Why was he the cause of Lot being captured? Either geography wise, Lot shouldn't have been there, or his entire life was based on him, his father, dying at a young age based on that. And then we have a fifth answer saying that no, everything we just said is out the window. There's no such thing. Lot is irrelevant. Lot's completely irrelevant in the situation. The reason why Avram had to save Lot was because the future progeny of a Mashiach was going to come out of it, and he wasn't even saving Lot himself. Lot was derech agav, as they say. And by the way, this thing of saying of Mashiach is similarly to why the Malachim had to save Lot when the stone was being destroyed as well. The same idea. Lot had a special power within him. Since he was going to produce the Mashiach, he had to be untouchable. It's like literally out of a bad movie. You have to kill the exterminator. Was that what it's called? Terminator. You have to keep this person alive because this person has within them the potential to produce the future messianic revelation. You have to keep the guy alive. So those are several of the answers we have so far going on. Now, the other approach by many, many early commentators, and again, within the nuances. So if we have to go to the nuance now, we're going to say it's moral obligation, or we're going to say causation, which has two, or we're going to say he didn't save it for himself, he sent it for Mashiach. Now we're going on a different line, which is similar again. They're all going to be nuanced to difference. And the difference is that in a makam, this is very potentially applicable, in the makam of sanctifying Hashem's name, the negative side causing a desecration of Hashem's name, the regular laws and rules of when you place yourself in a matzav of sakana get thrown out the window. So even though in a normal time, let's say, and Allah, we're not going to that tonight, let's say, luckily speaking, I'm not obligated to run into the river if I'm not a great swimmer. Let's say I'm not obligated. Okay. But this is not the same situation. This is called the Kiddush Hashem and a Chil Hashem situation. Sanctifying Hashem's name and causation to the destruction of Hashem's name publicly, that's different. It's the reason why Avram closed the school up, told the soldiers, let's go arm yourselves, but have a quick course on how to do battle, and they were successful. The reason why that has to happen is for a different reason. That reason is because in this situation, there was Hashem's reputation was on. It wasn't Avram himself speaking for himself and his nephew Lot. What he's speaking for is the general concept of Hashem being protected worldwide, the name being protected. Now, it happens to be, we don't have the psukim in front of us, happens to be that if you read the psukim, it seems like the reason why they specifically captured Lot, like they were going into the city, they were pillaging and killing and murdering a lot of the people. But they had a specific order to the soldiers to keep Lot alive, make Lot into a captive. Why? Because they wanted to parade Lot around the world. And why did they want to do that? The reason why they wanted to do that was because Lot looked like Avram, not only spiritually, but physically as well. Question how you can do this, which region, which thing. And they were going to publicly parade Avram and say, look at this, the great man who survived the great fire, the great man who believed in a monotheistic HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Guess what? We have him right here. We captured him. So it was a desecration of Hashem's name publicly. And that was the point of them capturing Lot. The reason that they went into Sidon to capture Lot was specifically to antagonize the situation of Avram, you know, specifically to start this whole problem. Therefore, it wasn't Avram's personal situation. It was we're going to use the word geopolitical one. That means the whole world is watching, if that's relevant. And therefore, you have to know how you're going to answer. Again, we're not talking religiously. We're talking politically and stuff. Well, I mean, the opposite. We're not talking politically. They captured Lot not as a political prisoner. They captured him as also a religious prisoner to show the world that he's not there. Therefore, Avraham Avinu had a special obligation to get up there and fight. And it happens to be, that's a medrash seems to say that. There's a fascinating medrash. The medrash says that the kings got together, and this is unbelievable. Just saw this tonight. And it's so powerful for our emotional state that we're in right now. And it says like this, the kings got together. They said, listen, we got to, Nimrod was the main guy here. The same guy who lost Avraham Avinu, his political enemy, was back again, fighting him again here. And by the way, I think we discussed it in years past, Nimrod dies the same day Avraham Avinu dies. They were like yin yang versus each other, the good and bad in the world. They were there existing, fighting each other, and they both passed away the same day. Now, what Nimrod did was, in the end, he realized this is not an easy situation. Going after Avram, I already tried this once and it didn't work. But he had ideas that maybe it could work in Louisville. So he got his generals together. They sat in a bunker somewhere and they said, let's think of what the best strategy to do is to make a tremendous splash on what's going on there. And we have a great idea. What we're going to do is, we don't know if Avraham Avinu is going to be protected in all situations. Maybe that situation. So we're going to do is, we're going to take the next best thing. We're going to go and we're going to purposely grab his nephew. And we're going to see if Avraham Avinu was so impressive, then taking his nephew is going to have some type of repercussions from Hashem. It's going to have something. 10 soldiers will die. Something's going to happen. And therefore, we'll know we can't go next to the next step of Avram. We will go after Avram, but we can't because we're nervous. We're going to grab the next best thing and see God's reaction. That was their political strategy, or whatever you call it, the war strategy that they wanted to do. The war room sat down and did this. And they went and they grabbed Lloyd and they were waiting for a reaction. And you know what? They were tremendously successful. And they said, okay, you know what? That means we can go after Avrom next. We can go after Avrom next. And this would mean that Avraham Avinu's reason for going into war to capture Lloyd, halachically speaking, could be a general rule. If someone's going to kill you, you kill them first. That's a Jewish law. The obligation to save Lloyd was not an obligation to save Lloyd. It was an obligation to create a war. They're coming to kill me, kill them first. Someone breaks into your home at night in Jewish law and they're looking through your stuff. They're not leaving the home. You have an obligation to kill first. I don't know, obligation is the right word. Go off and kill him first. But here, let's go back to this for a second. The Medrash says they made this whole cheshbon. The cheshbon was that, what's HaKadosh Baruch Hu going to do? Amazingly, the Medrash says that HaKadosh Baruch Hu, of course, knew the whole cheshbon. He was in the room with them. He was in the room with them when he was doing the entire cheshbon. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu said like this, I'm not going to respond because I want them to fall into the trap of overconfidence and hubris and stuff like that. And then I'm going to have Avram come after them and they're going to be fully confident. They're going to say, oh, Hashem's not with this guy. He's crazy. And therefore, they're going to have a bit greater fall, which would mean open medrash, by the way, open medrash. If anyone wants it, leave it to them later in the Hebrew and English. I don't know the English side, you can't medrash in English. Some of them are. The medrash says that HaKadosh Baruch Hu held back his power, his revenge, anything he was thinking in order to give the opposing side of Nimrod, overconfidence in their early success in order to destroy them afterward. So sometimes I think that psychologically that's a good place to be in my opinion. Good place to be in. So psychologically realize that even though sometimes things appear to be much greater, but in the end it's a curse broke, we're still watching everything. Still watching everything. I will say one thing also. It says that when Mashiach comes, the Gemara in Avodah Zarah 3a, if Charles will put it on the screen, the Gemara of Isaiah 3a says, when Mashiach comes, the nations are going to come to HaKadosh Baruch Hu and they're going to say, we want credit for what we did. We want credit for what we did. What credit do you want? They say, we built bridges for the Jews. They're going to say, we did it for the Jews. Imagine the hypocrisy of these people. The UN is going to get up there and say, everything we did was for the Jews. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu is going to tell them, fools. Fools, you didn't do it for the Jews. You did it for yourselves because you knew bridges collect taxes, or because bridges lead people for commerce, or because bridges can lead people to do different things. And that's what it says. And then they can say, we created these things. And Hashem will say, fools. And then they're going to say, even the wars we fought was for the Jews. Read the Gemara, unbelievable. Now, and the first question was, why does it say fools? Say liars. The answer is, famous Musaf art from 50, 80 years ago, is that it is for the Jews. They just don't do it. They don't know it. Everything created in this world, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, was allowed because of the Jews. Their thought process is not for the Jews. Their thought process is something else. But in the end, when they're saying to Hashem, we did it for the Jews, that is a true statement for fact. Hashem's got done that. That wasn't your intention. But the statement is true. If you read the Talmud inside, or maybe I'll send a link to it, Hashem says you're fools because you did it for yourselves. That's on the bridges. That's on the aqueducts. On the list of things that when it says we wage wars, Hashem didn't say you wage wars for X, Y, and Z. The Gemara changes the answer right there. It says Hashem says, no, you didn't do it for this, you did it for X. You didn't do it for the Jews, you did it for X. You didn't do it for the Jews, you did it for Y. You didn't do it for Jews, you did it for Z. When it came to wars, Hashem responds, Ani, I'm the one who wages wars. That's what it says there. Now, what that means, according to the way you read the Gemara well, how that reads means is in the end, whatever people think when it comes to the concept of war, it's a certain area potentially that is out of the hands of human beings. We think that we have free choice. We meaning the generals, we meaning the armies, we meaning everything. But in the end, Hashem is part of every situation of the war. He didn't answer them, no, you did the war for X, Y, and Z. So he answered, it's not true, you didn't do the war, he says. I make the war. And on some level, we'll put the two things together. We have to know that, first of all, HaKadosh Baruch Hu can, he's every part of the wars he's involved with. There's no part that he's not there with. Every part is there. And also to know from the Medrash we said tonight, from Light, open Medrash, that says that at times HaKadosh Baruch Hu will be watching. And Lloyd was being captured and it was a bad thing and it was terrible and Avraham Avinu was upset and everything. But Hashem held back on purpose for a bigger picture thing that was going to happen.